I have the great privilege of serving as a Rav in Passaic, New Jersey. And in our shul a few months ago, we had one of those tragic moments where in the middle of davening, in the middle of tefillah, a Sefer Torah fell out of the Aron Kodesh. So I don't know if you've ever had this experience. It's very, very, very startling. And you have Balabatim in your shul who could be Ochel Nevelis and Baal Arayas and work on Shemitah or Rabbeinu Tam Tzvi. It doesn't matter what they do. But this din they know, that when the Sefer Torah falls, it's going to be 40 days of fasting. I heard, yeah, I can never eat again. I heard that you can only eat wings and no longer poppers and doggy. There are lots of different shitas what to do. And they all get very worked up and everyone gets very excited. It becomes very traumatic. And there's always one balabas who has a more practical bend to him. So one of my balabatim approached the Aron Kodesh and he opens it up and he looks at the Aron Kodesh, and we know that in every Aron Kodesh there is a very thin, tiny little chain that holds the Sifrei Torah in place, which are all designed to ensure that when you have psicha, you have no idea which one to unhook. And we all stand there throughout Brich Shmei trying to get a read on it so that when the moment comes, we don't look like a fool. But no matter what happens and no matter where you are, except in Breuer's where there's a sign, soon as you reach for that hook, bam, you're on the wrong one and everything gets mixed up and you have to go the other direction. These chains are very, very small. They're almost symbolic. So this balabas he decides we want to make sure we can secure this Sefer Torah, and he brings a thicker chain. He walks into the shul with a chain that I am telling you, you could mount it on a pickup truck and drive it through the snow. It's mamish, it's the thickest chain, and it's standing there holding in the Sefer Torah. The Sefer Torah looks like it looks like it's in prison. It looks like it's a goulash. It's like mamish, like. So finally we're sitting there looking at this Sefer Torah, and he says to me the following. He says to me, why is it that we have to ensure that the Sefer Torah stands up? Why don't we just construct the Aron so that the Sefer Torah is laying down? That would seem to be much more practical. It would seem to be much more safe. It would avoid any sort of problems and tragedies. What's the problem? So the truth is, this is a shaila in the tshuvas of the Radbaz. The Radbaz in Chelek Gimel Simin Tov Kuf Lamed says the following. Why, in fact, are we nohag to stand the Sefer Torah in an erect formation? It would be more practical to lay the Sefer Torah down. Because after all, says the Radbaz, what is the paradigm from which we draw the construction of the Mikdash Me'at of the Beis HaKnesses? What do we look for is the platform for our architectural design. We look to the Mishkan, we look to the Mikdash. And the Gemara tells us that in the Mishkan, in the Mikdash, the Luchos and the Sefer Torah were actually laid down. They sat flat in the Aron Hashem. So asks the Radbaz, why is it we don't construct the Aron in this format? And he even quotes the Rabbeinu Tam. The Rabbeinu Tam writes, Shikachu Yoser Tov Mitam Zeh. The Rabbeinu Tam says, I'm in. I think we should do this. Shikachu Yoser Tov Mitam Zeh. Bap Niskarti Kishasisi Aron Irchavinu. Says the Rabbeinu Tam, if I would have remembered, if I would have realized this, when I sat with my building committee to build my building, I would have in fact insisted on some sort of design modification for the Aron. This is a great idea. But writes the Radbaz, Bechol Tfutzas Yisrael, no one's ever seen anything like this. Who's ever seen an Aron Kodesh where Sifrei Torah are laying down? In every Aron Kodesh in the world, even where people put on Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin, every under Kodesh in the world, the Sifrei Torah stand up. Why is this so? So the Radbaz gives a number of answers to this question, and I want to share with you one of them. Writes the Radbaz, Kevan Sheha Adam Mispalil. That when we stand in the Beis HaKnesses, when we stand in the Beis Medrash, and we daven, Upanav Leneged HaHeichal, and we face, our face is standing against, facing the Heichal, against the Aron Kodesh. Tzarech Shiei Sefer Torah Me'umad. I remember when I was in YU, we faced all sorts of different directions. I don't know if that still goes on here. But now the new Beis Medrash, maybe everything's perfect. Everything was perfect before too, but more perfect. So, says the Radbaz, when you stand facing the Aron, and then he says something incredible. Sarech shiyehei sefer Torah me'umah, the sefer Torah has to be standing, kidei shiyehei anav kineged sefer Torah. So that when you stand facing the Aron, the Torah, the position of the Torah, mirrors you and you mirror it. In the Aron, the Torah could lay flat in the Aron in the Mikdash. But in the Beis HaKnesses, where we all stand in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, none of us could walk into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Only the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. But to this Kodesh HaKadoshim that everyone has access to on a regular basis when you walk in, when you face that Aron, the Sefer Torah, and you have to be aligned. You have to face each other. There's a conversation, there's a dynamic, there's a relationship, there's an energy flowing to and from. There's a sense of connection that is formed between you and the Sefer Torah. And the question is, what is so significant about this choreographing of the image of you and the Sefer Torah and the Aron Kodesh? Why is it that this transcends the fundamental idea that our Mikdash Me'at should in fact represent what we constructed in the Mishkan, in the Mikdash itself? Why does this take precedence? Why is this so crucial? Why is this so central, so important? So in the Sefer Mitzvos HaMelech, which is a perush on the Rambam's Sefer HaMitzvos, when the Rambam records in Mitzvah Chaf, the mitzvah to build a Beis HaMikdash, in Ilchus Beis HaBechira, on the Yad HaChazaka, he quotes an insight from Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, and he writes the following. Rav Moshe Soloveitchik says that if you look at Parshas Pekudei, this week's parsha, you will notice an anomaly with relation to the Aron. All of the kelim of the Mishkan that are going to be introduced into the Mishkan itself, that are detailed at the conclusion of Parshas Pekudei, we find that the kli itself is inserted into the Mishkan, and then the items or the relative details associated with that kli are added afterwards. The Torah tells us, "V'yitein es ha'shulchan be'o'el moed." You put the shulchan in the Oel Moed, and then v'yaruch alav erech lechem lifnei Hashem. You put the menorah in the Oel Moed, and then v'yala neros lifnei Hashem. You put the kior in the Oel Moed, and then you fill the kior with water. There is one exception to this pattern, and that is the Aron. When the Torah tells us, when the Torah describes the moments where Klal Yisrael placed the Aron in the Mishkan Hashem, first the Torah says, "Vayitein, vayikach, vayitein as ha'edus el ha'aron." First we place the Luchos and the Sefer Torah into the Aron, and then, after the Aron is already encased, the Luchos and the Sefer Torah, "Vayavo es ha'aron le'mishkan Hashem." Only then do we bring the Aron into the Mishkan Hashem. Writes Rav Moshe Soloveitchik that the difference between the Aron and all of the other kelim of the Mikdash is that for all of the other kelim of the Mikdash, they are a conduit for some sort of avoda. For the Aron itself to be considered an Aron, for it to have the status of a chetza, of an Aron Hashem, it has to have the Torah, it has to have the Luchos inside. It's not even functional as a kli. It doesn't even have capacity to be placed inside the Mishkan if it has been separated from the Luchos, from the Sefer Torah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Aron, to be defined as an Aron, has to have within it, the Luchos has to have within it, the Sefer Torah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the question is, why is this so? The reason for this is very simple. And that is that all of the other kelim of the Mishkan are a conduit, are a form, are some sort of opportunity to be able to serve as an avoda in the Mishkan Hashem. That's not the purpose of the Aron. The Aron holds the Luchos. The Aron is the focal point of the Hashras HaShechina of the Mishkan. The Rambam writes, and many understand the Rambam this way, that the primary function of the Mishkan, of the Beis HaMikdash, is Avoda. But the Ramban writes, in contrast to the Rambam, that the real purpose of the Mishkan, the Avodah, was certainly an essential component, but the experience of the Mishkan was one of Ashras HaShechinah. It was the experience of walking into an environment where HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence was palpable, where you could feel it, where you could experience it, where the environment and the atmosphere was saturated with spirituality, where you walk in and there's no question of where is the Ribono Shel Olam. There's no doubt. There's no searching. There's no trying to determine what it is. Where does he want from me? Where is he? How do I find him? There's no seek. There's no quest. You just walk in and he's there. You feel this presence of the Ribono Shel Olam. And the Aron was the focal point of that Ashras HaShechinah. That's where the presence sat. And without the Luchos, it could not serve that function for the following reason. And that is that in Yiddishkeit, we can never bifurcate. We can never separate the experience of spirituality from the substance of Torah. You can't have even a moment of Ashras HaShechinah. You can't even have the presence of the Aron in the confines of the Mishkan without the substance of Torah as its core and as its foundation of what it represents. The notion that we can experience the mystical sensations of spirituality independent of a life that is rooted and anchored to Limud HaTorah and the substance of Torah is antithetical to the values and foundations of Judaism. And the Aron represents this notion that you can't even bring an Aron into a Mishkan if it is not encapsulating Dvar HaShem. And therefore it required that component, therefore it required that element, that dimension. So what is the Sefer Torah doing in the Aron? The Sefer Torah is sitting in the Aron, the Sefer Torah is sitting in this Aron, to project to us the foundational notion that Torah, the substance of Torah, the learning of Torah, the living of Torah, the Dvar HaShem of Torah, is the foundation of everything we are, is the focal point of everything we are. But there's a fundamental difference between the projection of that value in the context of the Mishkan and the projection of that value in the context of a Beis HaKnesses. In the Mishkan, it's the existence of Torah. The Hashras HaShechinah, the spiritual energy of a Mishkan, with the Avodah and the Kohanim, with the presence of the Ribono Shel Olam, is so accentuated that as long as the Torah is there, as long as it exists, as long as it's present, it projects that fundamental message. You don't have to see it. You can feel it. You don't go into the Kodesh HaKadosh. And even if you do, you don't look inside the Aron. The Luchos are encased in box after box after box. They're hidden. But we know they're there. And without them, it's nothing. That's the world of the Mishkan. That's not the world of the Beis HaKnesses. That's not the world of what it means to live outside the confines of the Mishkan. When we walk into the Mikdashei Me'at of our communities, we can't see a hidden Torah. We can't see a Torah that lies on its side that we know is there, but isn't facing us. We can't just know that there's an existence of Torah. We can't just be told that there are lessons and centrality to Torah. But rather we have to live facing the content, the substance, the reality of what it means to be connected to Torah. It has to be real. It has to be present. It has to be an overt part of our environment. It has to be that we stand panav kineged Sefer Torah. That our face is standing against the Sefer Torah. That our existential conversation of life is with the values and ideals of Torah. And that has to stand in front of us face to face. It has to be part of our reality. It can't just be something that's living in the orbit of our values and ideals. It has to be real. It has to be in front of us. And I'll tell you, I think all of us know that in so many communities, in so many contexts, we find that in the broader Jewish world, that there's a sensation of a presence of Torah. Yeah, we believe in Torah. There's a value of Torah. there is a marginal commitment to study Torah. But one of the things that people are searching for, one of the foundational elements that is missing from so many of our environments, so many of our communities, so many of our worlds, is the pun of Kineged Sefer Torah. It's not a value that's hidden inside an ark, inside a Mishkan Hashem. It's standing in front of us. We could see it. It's talking to us. It's relevant to us. It's resonant to us. That inspiration, that reality, is still part of the search for meaning and purpose in our world, in all of our worlds. This is my first time speaking to this incredible, illustrious, unbelievable Olam. You have no idea. I spent 10 years learning, not in this base medrash, this was a parking lot. But I spent 10 years learning it when it's now the old base medrash. And to just stand here tonight and reflect with you on the values and ideals of what we try to accomplish here in the yeshiva is an incredible, incredible schus, an incredible opportunity. My name is Yaakov Glasser. I spent the last 15 years of my life working in outreach for an organization called NCSY. My children think that Holocaust stories are part of the text of Havdalah. I literally lived and breathed every aspect of this thing. The highs, the insanity, everything. Summers, Shabbosim, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of Shabbatonim. And I had the great schus to work with two incredible populations. The unaffiliated Jewish community. That Zeiskite kid that is just searching for meaning and purpose. You know, a few months ago we had our national Yarchei Kala, where we have 300 public school kids come together to study Torah for 5 days. And I was walking out of the bathroom, and I was walking down the hallway, and it was a Tuesday afternoon, and a kid walks up to me from Portland, Oregon. And he says to me on Tuesday afternoon, "Good Shabbos." So I said, "What?" Kiruv training. So he said, "Oh, I'm sorry. Shalom Aleichem." So I said, "Aleichem Shalom." He said, "Oh, I'm sorry. Aleichem Shalom." I said, "No, Shalom Aleichem." Now I'm in a who's on first with this public school kid. This is a kid who's just reaching for the vernacular of what it means to be part of the Jewish people. And it's amazing to spend time, it's amazing to be inspired by people who are searching, by people who are wondering and grasping for the meaning of Torah. But I spent a lot of time with another population as well. And some of you are in this room, proudly. And that is the population for whom Torah throughout their adolescence and their formative development was a presence. It's not like it was absent from the orbit of their existence. They didn't grow up unaffiliated. It was there. But it wasn't panav kineged Sefer Torah. It wasn't standing in front of them as an object of inspiration, as an object of relevance, as a vibrant source of life transformative experience. It wasn't facing them with the sense of, this is my mission, this is who I am, this is what my identity is all about. This is what's going to guide my choices in life, my decisions. This is what's going to define who I am, my ideology, my philosophy, my attitudes. It's not pun of Kineged Sefer Torah. And so after spending 15 years working on this, I came to the conclusion that I wanted to be part of the only place I knew that could make a difference in bringing the pun of Kineged Sefer Torah to the Jewish people. Because the people sitting in this room, the people who are sitting and studying Torah, the people who are connected to our yeshiva, are people who understand that the world out there needs more than just a presence of Torah. The world out there needs a pun of Kineged Sefer Torah, and for different people that means different things. And in different environments that means different things. And in different program structures that means different things. And everyone has a role to play. everyone has an opportunity to connect to the greater Am Yisrael. You know, the Aron is the only kli in the Mishkan that is presented in a formulation of the plural to all of Klal Yisrael. Everybody has a piece of the Aron. Eitz Chaim hi l'machazikim bo. Everybody has to help grab hold of what this is and make it a vibrant and real part of our community. This is going to be one of our greatest challenges of the next generation. And you, we, are the leaders of that generation. Whether it's as Rabbanim and Mechanchim, or whether it's as Balabatim, who stand for Vayihi bin Sora Aron, and Tnu Kavod LaTorah, and make Torah the center of their life. And together we have to help shape a broader community that sees the Panav Kineged Sefer Torah as the central ideal of what it means to be part of Am Yisrael. And the extent to which you can engage in opportunities to make that impact and make it back in time for Seder Sunday morning, it's an amazing chance to make an amazing difference. It's an opportunity to consider with yourself, with your Rebbe, with your Chaverim, because everyone has some role to play. And I can't tell you what your role should be. It's a personal conversation about Yiras Shamayim and focus and priorities that you should have with Rabbeim and mentors and Mashkichim. But I can tell you that on the trajectory of your life and on the development and evolution of our communities, we need all of you in some way, shape, or form so that we can create a larger community that is Panav Keneged Sefer Torah. Good night.